Welcome to the podcast series from the 9th EMN Educational Seminar on Migration 2023, entitled Protection of Migrants in Vulnerable Situations, organized by the European Migration Network in Slovakia. You're listening to the lecture on smuggling and organized criminal networks in migration flows, with a focus on Southeast Europe by Dardan Kocani, Field Coordinator for Kosovo at the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime. Dardan worked for the Ministry of Internal Affairs of Kosovo, covering strategic planning, policy coordination, international cooperation and EU integration process. He also worked as a project manager for UNDP Kosovo, as well as the expert for various projects and organizations in the field of home affairs. Enjoy the lecture.
Today I will be presenting about the human smuggling networks in Southeastern Europe. So to present some of our previous work in this area, but also a recent publication, a recent research actually, that we will be publishing sometime in August or beginning of September. So to begin with, just a few introductory remarks about our organization. So Global Initiative is an independent civil society organization established in 2013. Our network has more than 500 independent and prominent law enforcement, governance, and development practitioners. As you can see on the map, we have seven observatories around the world. We have three on Africa, one on Latin America. We have the Observatory for Southeastern Europe, in which I work. And last year, we also opened an observatory on Ukraine. Our head office is in Geneva. So the Southeastern Observatory was established in 2018 at the London Summit. So London Summit was held within the Berlin process, which is an initiative established by some EU member states together with the Western Balkan countries in order to bring the Western Balkan closer to the EU. We have three major areas of work. We do research and analysis. We support civil society organizations through the Resilience Fund. So we provide grants to local civil society organizations in order to build resilience against organized crime. And we organize discussion and debates. So we have more than 100 staff members. We have 41 nationalities and we work in 34 countries. A lot of work is done on research and publication. As you can see, we have more than 120 publications only last year. So what is human smuggling? It is a procurement in order to obtain directly or indirectly a financial or other material benefit of the illegal entry of a person into a state party of which the person is not a national or a permanent resident. So this is a definition by the Protocol Against Smuggling with Migrants by Land, Sea, and Air, and supplementing the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, or the Palermo Convention. So in other words, human smuggling is a cross-border crime because it involves crossing illegally at least a border. In, for example, a contract to trafficking with human beings, which can be both domestically and transnational, human smuggling is a cross-border crime. It involves transportation or fraudulent documents, or both of them. And even if the migrant enters voluntarily in this journey, there are significant risks. There is the risk of being abused, of being trafficked, exploited. There is also the risk when you cross multiple borders, either terrain or also by land, there is high risk and many dangerous. It's a very profit illicit market. During, for example, 2015 and 16 crisis, Europol estimated that the market value of this illicit market only in Europe was around 3 to 6 billion euros. So you can imagine globally the size and the value of this market. It is a low risk of detection because it is widespread. Smugglers are located in different countries. They operate from different countries. But also then, countries have not prioritized fighting human smuggling. While the detention is low, the punishment is even lower. And we have seen, especially in the countries in the Western Balkans, when we have low sanctions against migrant smugglers. It is linked to other forms of organized crime, for example, with human trafficking, firearms trafficking, money laundering, illicit financial flows, and other forms. So let's see now some of the work that we did in this area. I will begin with the Global Organized Crime Index of 2021. For you who don't know, Global Initiative in 2021 published the Global Organized Crime Index, in which it ranks countries based on the level of criminality. So we assess the level of criminality in 10 illicit markets. We looked into four categories of criminal actors, so mafia-style groups, criminal actors, state-embedded actors, etc. And we also looked into the resiliency of countries against organized crime. Here, human smuggling is one of the illicit network markets that we assessed. As you can see from the slide, the global average is just below 5 points. So the higher the number, the higher the points, the more severe the problem is within a country. And here you can see some of the countries in the Southeastern Europe. Of course, the highest number is in Turkey, because Turkey is the place when irregular migrants and smuggling networks start the journey. And then it is followed by Greece, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Albania, and other countries. As you can see, for example, Kosovo and Montenegro have a lower number because they don't have as problems as other countries like Serbia and Bosnia. Or here, for example, Bosnia at that time was estimated with 5. However, last year we have seen that Bulgaria faced significant challenges and influx of migrants. So in the index of this year, probably we will see some different numbers in all the countries. In 2021, we also published a report called Spot Prices, in which we analyzed the flow of people, in this case, irregular migrants, drugs and money in the Western Balkans. And we used the approach of spot hotspots. So we looked into hotspot areas in the Western Balkans here, as you can see on the map. So we did this analysis, not only for regular migrants, but also for drugs and also flow, to see in which countries are more like hot areas for smuggling. For example, crossing the border between Albania and Kosovo, it costs less, for example, around 600 euros, but then as you move forward, for example, in more difficult borders such as Serbia with Hungary, then the price increases. Together with the report, we also develop a digital tool on migrant smuggling hotspots, which you can find on our website. And here, basically, you can play, for example, with numbers, but also with country of origin, etc. Also, it provides some numbers about irregular entries, about number of asylum seekers throughout different years in the Western Balkans. So in the report on spot prices, we looked into three main categories of smuggling networks. The first one are the fixers. So the fixers are those that put the migrants in touch with the smugglers. They are the ones that suggest routes and safe houses. They do lookouts and scouts, etc. They can be taxi drivers on their own, or they can arrange taxis for migrants. They operate within the country. They stay, for example, in one of the Western Balkan countries. They usually do not cross the border. They develop the activity within the country. We have seen also cases in the Western Balkans where border officials or police officials acted as fixers, mainly as drivers. So we have cases when they were, for example, caught transporting a number of migrants. The second category are the gatekeepers. So the most organized and lucrative forms of smuggling is around the border. So these are people that are well equipped. They also are equipped with firearms, especially with, for example, AK-47. We have seen many cases that they were seized, and also are people that are well connected. They have connections with border officials, with their networks, both within in two countries, and they open the door to the next country. So, for example, in the tunnel that was used from Serbia to go in Hungary, they were the ones that, for example, would give you access. They also act as guides, but also they can arrange transportation once you cross the border. Of course, as this is an activity more difficult for the migrant, they also charge higher prices from the migrants. So gatekeepers are paid higher than the fixers. And the third category are the package dealers. So this is the network that makes the highest profit. So they have high degree of sophistication and planning. They have transnational networks. They have access to documents, either originals that they obtain, for example, from regular migrants or diaspora, but also they can produce fraudulent documents. They have also access to vehicles, etc. Usually the deals are made in Turkey and Greece, and the deal can, for example, cover either one of the Western Balkan countries or even the final destination to Central and Western Europe. Families usually use the package dealers because it is for them less riskier because they provide the whole package, transportation, accommodation, etc. And then, for example, there are estimates that for a family of four, it would cost around 20,000 euros from Turkey to the destination country in Central or Western Europe. And the other category, it's the self-help. This is how we call them. This is like a lower budget approach. So the migrant, they don't rely on the networks. For example, in the beginning or during the journey, they mainly rely on their wits and their contacts. And they get information from social media, the diaspora network, but also in camps. So they can do a significant journey without their asking the services of the smugglers. Eventually, they might ask the services of fixers or gatekeepers, especially in crossing more difficult borders. According to Europol, 90% of migrants use the services of smugglers. In that report, we also try to put a value on the size and the value of market in human smuggling in the Western Balkans. So these are numbers that were used before, so during 2019 and 2020. So the zone one is the border between Greece and North Macedonia and Greece and Albania, which is estimated to be around 19 to 29 million euros. Now, if you compare this with the last year, for example, these numbers in all the zones should be at least two or three times higher because we had more influx of migrants. The second zone is Bosnia and Herzegovina, which ranges from 7 to 10 million euros, and the third zone is Serbia to Hungary and Romania border, around 8.5 to 10.5 million euros. So in total, for that period of years, so 2020-2019, the value of the market was between 34 to 50 million euros. We also published some stories in our risk bulletin. So risk bulletin, we publish on quarterly basis, and we do short stories on different topics of organized crime. And here are some of the stories that we publish specifically for migration. As you can see, majority of them cover Bosnia and Herzegovina because it faced significant problems. But we also had a story about the increasing number of Albanians that crossing the English Channel from France using small boats, but also unaccompanied minors. I can send you the links through Sana, and then you can access all of them. So last year, we opened an observatory on Ukraine. Nevertheless, our observatory for Southeastern Europe wanted to see if the war in Ukraine had any impact on the Southeastern Europe in the illicit markets. So together with the Center for the Study of Democracy on Bulgaria, we conducted research in four illicit markets: smuggling with migrants, drug trafficking, illicit financial flows, and fuel smuggling. We have completed the research reports, and during this summer we will be publishing the four of them. So the war in Ukraine and the biggest wave of asylum seekers coincided with the surge of irregular migration from MENA region. And as Frontex reported last year, we had the highest number of irregular entries since 2016. And from this total of number of irregular entries, 45% occurred through the Western Balkan route, which in number is 145,600. During this year, for period January to March, according to Frontex, we have around 22% less irregular entries compared to the last period, but we will see if this trend will continue and what will be the numbers at the end of the year. Bulgaria and Greece reported around 37,000 registered irregular migrants. And interestingly, Serbia was an entry point from people from India, Tunisia, Cuba, and Burundi. Serbia had a free visa regime with these countries, so that's why these countries then regularly traveled to Serbia, and then through smuggling groups, they managed to go to Central and Western Europe. Because of the EU pressure, Serbian government changed the visa regime, so they introduced the visa to all these countries except Cuba and also Turkey, for which also all the Western Balkan countries don't have a visa regime. From the interviews that we conducted in Serbia with Serbian experts, they told us that around 30% of migrants come from Bulgaria, 50% from Greece, and around 20% by air. So since visa regime was introduced so this year, which we should have less number of irregular migrants coming by air or abusing with that. We requested data from all the Western Balkan countries about where the irregular migrants were apprehended. For example, were they apprehended in an entry point or an exit point with which country or within the land. However, we were not able to get this data. We wanted to see through this data where are the zones that, for example, authorities apprehend more irregular migrants. So what has been the war on Ukraine, the impact on human smuggling network? It has to be stated that the war has not directly impacted smuggling networks. However, it affected indirectly, mainly in two areas. First, because of the influx of refugees, countries bordering Ukraine, but also other countries such as, for example, Bulgaria and Serbia, they had to redistribute forces, border authorities, etc., in order to wait and to accommodate refugees. So we had more pressure on Hungary and Romania, but also Bulgaria and Serbia. In Serbia, for example, there were more than 50,000 Ukrainians and more than 220,000 Russians that came only last year. So this then affected to have weakened border controls in some parts. For example, the border between Turkey and Bulgaria, because Bulgarian authorities has to redistribute their forces. And then also we had a weaker border control between Serbia and Hungary and Serbia and Romania. For example, while the unsuccessful attempts to cross the border from Serbia to Hungary in the past was 12, last year the unsuccessful attempts were dropped to 5. The second impact was that we've seen an increase in involvement of Ukrainian nationals in smuggling networks in Bulgaria. The Ukrainian criminal networks, they operated also before 2022. However, with the influx of refugees from Ukraine, now this criminal network started to recruit people who had no criminal backgrounds, so as drivers, etc. There are also allegations in Bulgaria that the Ukrainian criminal network smuggle men who fall under restriction to leave Ukraine. And in other countries in the Western Balkans, we have not seen any involvement of Ukraine nationals in smuggling networks. A large number of migrants already are in Central and Western Europe, and they constitute a big diaspora community or diaspora network, and they provide significant help to migrants because they share information through different social platforms, chat groups, in order to find the best route. They even send, for example, money to pay some parts of the journey. And this enables migrants to go through a significant journey without the involvement of criminal networks. But as I said earlier, eventually they seek the support of smuggling networks in crossing borders. So majority of irregular migrants rely on both networks, and only a tiny share utilizes just one of the two networks. During our interviews, we came out with different positions, or let's say, from the smugglers. We found out that they have coordinators, local organizers, recruiters, spotters, corrupt officials, unfortunately, service providers, and other country-specific roles. The smuggling networks in the Balkans, they differ from the criminal or traditional criminal organizations because they have a loose structure and they do not exist permanently or sustainably. They can team up to do a number of tasks and they disband. They also use variety of contractors for the same role within a short period of time. Also that they have a loose network, they still have some level of subordination. And usually the criminal authority or the highest level is located in Turkey or in Greece. And the middle and top level are usually occupied or by nationalities of migrants. And in the lower level, the local organizers, majority are local nationals for the countries of Western Balkans. However, in the last years, for example, in Bulgaria, we have seen that even for these low-level positions, they have started to recruit foreign nationals, but also their compatriots are doing, for example, as working as drivers, etc. So how they have adapted over the period of time? So the smuggling networks during 2015 and 2016, mainly Balkan networks, high-level coordinators, they resided in key ports in Thessaloniki in Greece and in Istanbul in Turkey. And the criminals or the smugglers were of the same nationality as the migrants they smuggled. For example, Afghanis would smuggle only Afghanis and in this way. So in the last years, we have seen some changes in their structure. So now, as you saw in the previous slide, it is more chaotic and decentralized. The migrants have started to undertake many of the roles previously held by the nationals of Balkan countries, for example, recruiters, drivers, guides, etc. We have seen also involvement of foreign nationals at the lower levels. And this is very obvious, for example, in Bulgaria, when the authorities there have arrested citizens of Ukraine, Georgia, Moldova, but also drivers from Poland and Western Europe. We have seen an increasing use of encrypted phone apps. In 2015 and 16, we had still smartphones. However, now we have more apps, encrypted apps, and they rely mainly on these apps. They have also large number of groups. For example, there were a WhatsApp group of more than 70,000 members in it, and they use different platforms to communicate. We also seen a growth of online payments. So during the migration crisis in 15-16, majority of migrants, they had cash with them. But now they use different online banking systems, but also fast money transfer services. Now let's see about the cross-border cooperation in investigation of cases. Now, as the smuggling networks started to become more sophisticated and flexible, Western Balkan countries had more difficulties to investigate, detect, and prosecute this. So the law enforcement in the Balkan countries usually reach only the most visible layer of the low-level organizers. So usually are the drivers or spotters. So the low level, very rarely they catch the highest middle or high-level authorities. Successful and large operations were mainly led by Frontex, Europol, and SELEC. And we have seen little cooperation among the Western Balkan countries without involvement of an external partner to jointly investigate these networks. During the interviews which we did with all border authorities in Western Balkan countries, all border authorities stated that there is little cooperation and they should do more. However, in practice, we're not seeing this. It's not a priority by governments to enhance this cooperation. There's also little use of joint investigation teams, proactive and regular exchange of information among the Western Balkan countries. So in a way, fighting of transnational human smuggling network is mainly led or driven by EU agencies and EU member states. Another evolvement that we have seen a trend is the violence of smuggling groups. So there are three forms of violence: violence towards the law enforcement authorities, violence among themselves, but also violence against the public and private property. So in countries that are less friendly with migrants, there is a tendency of migrants, but also smugglers, to be more violent with the authorities. We have seen in Bulgaria when we had a police officer was shot, but also some others were deadly hit while chasing a vehicle of migrants. We have seen also cases in Serbia, etc. There is also increased violence over control of territory, so violence among the groups. Only in Serbia during July of last year and March of this year, we had two migrants killed and 13 injured. The incidents or violent incidents mainly happen at exit routes and near informal migrant camps. They don't have at entry points of the countries. In Kosovo, for example, I've seen videos where rival groups kidnap members of the other group and they exercise violence, and they recorded this. And the police, when they arrested a group, managed to open the phone, and then I was able to see these terrible images. There is also violence against the public and private property, and we've seen this in all the countries in the Western Balkan countries. Another trend is that the smugglers are trying to build bonds with the locals, so they are trying to integrate in the local societies, and they find it easier in countries that are more friendly, migrant-friendly countries, such as, for example, Kosovo. And they use different methods to buy this friendship. They provide gifts, they give money, they offer different type of financial support to people, etc. And they do this for mainly two reasons. They want to build a positive perception and reputation in the community. They want to see as good people, good citizens, or good migrants, and also to look good in front of the authorities. But then they do this also to ask favors in return. For example, in Kosovo, they use the local nationals to transfer money, for example, from Turkey to Kosovo through fast money services. They use the national IDs of the locals. And then they also ask them for favor of accommodation, transport, and other services. In Kosovo, for example, drivers, they charge the same price for transporting migrants as they would charge a local citizen. So this is one of the few cases in which the migrants can pay the same price as regular citizens. In Serbia, there was an interesting case. So there is a half Serbian and half Serbian born in Serbia, civil society activist who in 2015 he organized humanitarian work and aid for the migrants passing through Serbia because he wanted to support his compatriots from Syria. However, through time, he started to build his criminal network in Serbia. And there is an interesting article published by Bern in Serbia in which they give the profile of this person who controls the smuggling network in Serbia. So other networks operating in Serbia, they have to pay, let's say, a share of the network. They have to pay financially, etc., in order to operate in Serbia. There were also allegations that he is strongly connected with law enforcement authorities and other members in the law authorities, and basically he controlled the smuggling network in Serbia. We have seen in May a recent decision by the government of Hungary to release convicted smugglers. So there are around 2,000 smugglers currently convicted in Hungary. The government of Hungary has been complaining to the EU for lack of financial support in protecting external borders. So they complained about not having support as they were protecting the external borders. And they decided to release 808 convicts with the justification that this would save taxpayers money in order to avoid fines from the European Commission for prison overcrowding, because the authorities in Hungary stated that the prisons are overcrowded, so in order not to get any fines, that they need to release them. Some others view that this is a reaction to European Commission's decision to froze funds of about 35 billion euros due to concerning of rule of laws in Hungary. Irrespective of the reasons by either party, this is a significant security threat to neighboring countries, especially to Austria, but the entire EU. So even if half of the smugglers go back to their illicit activity, this is a significant effect on the smuggling networks in Europe. And because of this, Austria has strengthened the border controls with Hungary. So in conclusion, data is not collected in a standardized way across the region, especially in the Western Balkan countries. At EU, you have specific and methodologies and requirements to collect data, but in the Western Balkans, this is more chaotic. Countries do not collect data systematically, but also through EU, let's say, methodologies and best practices, which makes it harder for, let's say, researchers to analyze the data. Human smuggling networks now have developed a more sophisticated and flexible organization. Criminal networks have started to employ also foreign citizens, and there is an increase of encrypted mobile applications. We have started to see more cases of use of violence in all the Western Balkan countries. The war in Ukraine had impacted only indirectly the smuggling network through the Balkan route. There is insufficient cross-border cooperation between police and judicial authorities, mainly in the Western Balkan countries, and the Western Balkan route will continue to remain one of the most active routes. Recently, there was a meeting between President of Turkey and Prime Minister of Bulgaria, and among other things, they discussed about strengthening the controls at border. So we might see a tighter control between Turkey and Bulgaria, which might shift the route from Turkey to Greece or other routes. Europol and Frontex mainly drive joint operations and investigations, and there is little cooperation among the Western Balkan countries to investigate and to have joint investigation teams. Fighting of human smuggling needs to be prioritized by Western Balkan countries, not only verbally, because they always say it in meetings, in conferences, but also on policy papers and strategies, but we need to see these priorities implemented into practice. So this was my presentation. Thank you for your attention. I'm looking forward to your comments, but also suggestions for a future, for example, areas that you think that is important for us to conduct the research. Thank you again.
This lecture was part of the 9th EMN Educational Seminar on Migration, entitled Protection of Migrants in Vulnerable Situations. The seminar is organized by the International Organization for Migration Slovakia as the coordinator of the Slovak EMN National Contact Point. This activity is funded by the European Union and co-funded by the Ministry of Interior of the Slovak Republic. Thank you for listening.